Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as high priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of burning incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." The word of the Lord.
Be seated. Some people pray for many, many years, waiting on an answer from God. So we should not stop, should we? Even when we're hoping for a miracle. And there are things that happen in our lives which may discourage us from continuing in prayer. But we should not stop. As William Gurnall once said, "Never was a faithful prayer lost. Some prayers have a longer voyage than others." It's important to have hope as we pray. But some people will lose their hope. And that brings us to the topic and the person of Zechariah, about whom we read in Luke chapter 1. Zechariah was serving as a priest in the temple. He served at the temple outside 2 one-week periods every year. There were 24 divisions of priests. There were 18,000 total priests who could serve at the temple during the course of the year. A priest, according to verse 9, would be selected by lot. And what we know about his selection is that it would only happen one time in your entire life. You would never have a second opportunity to do what Zechariah is doing in Luke chapter 1. His was an act of prayer on behalf of all the people of Israel. And there were people standing outside of the temple while he was inside the temple, offering what's referred to as the perpetual offering, which we read about in Exodus chapter 29. It happened at 9 in the morning and at 3 in the afternoon. But like many people who pray publicly for the needs of other people, Zechariah was a man who had personal prayer needs. He had needs in his own life. He and his wife Elizabeth had wanted a child, but they were childless, we read in verse 7, because Elizabeth was barren. So in these holy moments, Zechariah was serving on behalf of the nation of Israel within the temple. And in verse 11, what we read is, "Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. The right side would be the place of honor in this space in which Zechariah was occupied. You don't see an angel very often, do you? And so what we read in verse 12 is his fear. We read, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But according to verse 13, the angel told him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard." Now, we may not have God speak to us in quite the way Zechariah did, but God still speaks to us. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We could easily miss in life what God is saying to us if we were not faithfully reading the Word, praying to God, opening up our hearts and our minds to listen to what God has to say to us. God is speaking, but God is also listening. And so in the 13th verse of Luke chapter 1, we read the angel saying to Zechariah, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard." See, God's listening. He says to Zechariah, "Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." Now, the phrase back in verse 8 was that Zechariah and Elizabeth were well along in years. We don't know precisely how old they were, but we do know that we serve a great and awesome God who can do some things that we think are impossible. This is the same God who caused Abraham and Sarah to have Isaac when one was 100 years old and the other was 90 years old. So God is in the business of doing miracles. He's in the business of doing things that we think are impossible. You know, the name John means that God is gracious, and God certainly is. Your prayer has been heard is a huge phrase in the message that the angel is giving to Zechariah. God says to everyone in this room, your prayers have been heard. So keep praying. Keep praying. And there are some important principles to remember about prayer this morning. One is that we should be patient. We read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. So while we're suffering, we should not ever stop praying for the thing that is upon our hearts today. Secondly, and that is to pray without ceasing, giving thanks in all circumstances, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 and 18. So when the circumstances are hard, what should we focus on? Not the circumstances. We should focus on the prayer. We should focus on the need. We should focus on the Lord and continue to pray and never, ever stop. There's a devil next to you that's saying to you, why are you bothering to pray? Just cut it out. It doesn't do any good. What should you do? You should walk away from him. You should keep praying. You should never, ever stop. And then thirdly, we ought to pray in accordance with God's will, because God has a plan for your life and for mine. In James 4, verse 15, we read, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we live and do this or that. So this world in which we live and this life that's been given to us as a gift has a plan and it has a purpose. And so we look to God and say, I pray according to your will. Thy will be done. Now, it's easy for us to fall into the trap of thinking that God isn't answering our prayer month after month, year after year, because he's mad at us for doing something bad. Perhaps you've had that thought, but don't be misled. If you look back into Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, you see a description of Zechariah and Elizabeth, who have been waiting many, 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 many years to have a child. That description is, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. It says in the King James Version of the Bible that they were righteous. So the reason for the delay was not the behavior, not the falling short by Zechariah and Elizabeth. No, it was because of God's timing. So if God hasn't answered your prayer yet, don't stop, because the timing for the answering of your prayer may be just around the corner. What we read in verse 14 about this baby to be born is, he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. What that 14th verse is saying is that other people are impacted by God's answer to our prayers. In the life of this family, Zechariah and Elizabeth, we see how people are dramatically impacted by the birth of their child. We read in verses 15 and 16, he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. What we're seeing is that John, their child, is going to be different. He's going to be special. He's going to be totally consecrated unto God before birth. There will never be a time in his life where he is like everyone else. No, he'll always be different, and his parents' life will become different too. Not only will the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth change, but the lives of those who will encounter this man, John, in the Jordan River will be changed forever. Change happens. Change happens because of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives. John is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it says, even before he is born. What an amazing statement to make about this baby who is yet to come. What a special child they were to have. The angel went on to say in verse 17, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now this reference is to the prophet Elijah, about whom we read in the Old Testament in 1 and 2 Kings. God's power, his awesome power, reverberated through this prophet Elijah to the extent that God controlled the weather in Israel through Elijah's prayers. He used Elijah and his prayers. He'll also use the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. But you know what? God also uses you and your prayers. One of the most important verses in the Bible that you will ever read is in the book of James, chapter 5, and verse 17. It simply says, Elijah was a man just like us. What that says to you is that your prayers can change world history, just like Elijah, because Elijah was a man just like us. Can you think about your prayers in that way? That they transform life. So don't stop praying. Pray every day for the miracle that God's placed upon your heart. Now, the prophet Malachi had said was going to come before the day of the Lord, and he specifically referred to Elijah. Elijah would come, according to Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. So this utterance from the angel is a paraphrase of the prophet Malachi. And later, Jesus would one day answer the question, is Elijah coming, Lord? And Jesus said, Elijah has come. It's John the baptizer. John was the Elijah. So this child to be born to Zechariah and Elizabeth was a prophet. There's a very important expression that we look to in the following verses. We read in verses 18 through 20 that Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Do you see the expression "proper time"? It's happening when God wants it to happen. We read in verse 23 that when his time of service was completed, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. I bet that he wanted to say something then. But he couldn't. He had lost that ability to speak. But Elizabeth could speak. It says in verse 25, "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people." In these days. In these days. God knew the days in which he was going to send Jesus. The prophet would then begin to turn the hearts of the people to prepare the way for the Lord. You know, turning is a change of direction. So many people there were going in the wrong direction, and so many people today are going in the wrong direction. My wife and I came out of a downtown parking garage late last Saturday night, and I thought I was traveling east. But I was actually traveling west. And fortunately, I figured it out within a few seconds before I heard the words "recalculating." People have to turn. But what will help them turn? There was a man by the name of Mr. Klein. Mr. Klein was sad, he was depressed, and he depressed everyone around him. He thought that no one liked him, that no one loved him, that God couldn't care less about him and his life. But one day, Mr. Klein was walking by a church, and he heard the people inside singing, "Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me." When he heard that third line, "Jesus died for all mankind," what he thought he heard was, "Jesus died for old man Klein." So he opened the door of the church and walked in and gave his heart and his life to Jesus Christ. And everything about that man changed, because Jesus did die for old man Klein. You see, you have to personalize the love of God in your life. You have to open up your heart to God so that he may come in and transform you. You have to pray to God and know in your heart and believe in your soul that God is answering your prayers at the appointed time in these days. The miraculous birth of John to Zechariah and Elizabeth was to ignite the return of God's people to God. They would come back to God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who they had been waiting for centuries, whose birth we now anticipate in this amazing season of the year. And people are still returning to the Lord. They're still turning to the Lord. "For you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls." He's the one that's to be leading us. Have you turned to him? One Christmas Eve not long ago, Clay and Velma Likens of Jefferson County, Kentucky, walked outside onto their porch to turn off their Christmas lights because it was late and they were going to go to bed. But they saw a large object that was wrapped in plastic, and it was at the end of their driveway. And they went out to look at it. And there they found a note. And the note said this: "To whom it may concern, approximately 17 years ago, my husband stole this wicker chair from the porch of this house." She wrote in her note that she had come to faith in Jesus Christ, had been born again. She said, "My life has completely changed, and I want to undo any wrongdoing to the best of my ability. I know that this chair is not in the same condition as when it was stolen, and I apologize. I now live in Tennessee and am rarely in this vicinity." And then she wrote the words, "Please forgive us." That rocking chair was placed in a special room in that family's house, along with that letter, where it became a treasured keepsake, reminding us that hearts at Advent are turning to God. Hearts at Advent are always turning to God. They're turning to God. You see, there's hope for everyone in Jesus. He does miracles in us, and he does miracles through us. So let's get ready for miracles from our great God. Let's share our hope in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the message that Zechariah and Elizabeth and John give to us, that we should not ever stop praying. Thank you, Lord, for the coming of Jesus and for all the preparations that we're to do. Be glorified and honored in our lives. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is Joy to the World, number 125. We invite you to stand, and if anyone has a need for prayer, please come forward as we sing together, Joy to the World.